Broadcasting live from the Gwinnett studio of Business Radio X, located inside Office Suites Plus at Satellite Place in Duluth, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio spotlights and highlights companies that do business in Gwinnett County and the people who lead them.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio. I'm your host, Mike Salmon, along with my trusty co-host, Stephen Julian. Good morning, Stephen.
Morning, Mike, and I'm not going to make notice of the fact that you said trusty and then laughed.
I really do believe it, though. And let me do your fashion statement for the day, because we are on radio and people do want to know. You have the red tie today and the blue striped shirt.
I've been asked now on social media, what tie are you wearing today? So,
and you went with the red today.
Yes, I'm feeling so famous. So thank you to the two people who asked. So,
We got a lot of guests lined up for today. Joining us on the show, Carly Crane and Chris Jones from Eagle Rock Distributing Company, Dr. Lauren Millman from Suwannee Spine and Wellness Center, Jeff Johnson from Jake Johnson's Garage, and our normal contributor, Marie Fratoni with Reinvent Yourself Seminars. She'll be joining us as well. We're going to start the show with Carly Crane and Chris Jones with Eagle Rock Distributing Company. Welcome to the show, Carly and Chris. Chris, tell me all about Eagle Rock Distributing Company, what you guys do.
Well, Eagle Rock is a beverage distribution company. We're located currently in Stone Mountain, Georgia, and we handle 16 counties exclusively with some of our Anheuser-Busch products, Yingling, New Belgium products, as well as some other craft and specialty brewers. And then statewide with our liquor and wine division, which is just at its second anniversary on March 21st. We employ over 300 employees at both of our locations in Dalton and Stone Mountain, and looking to uproot our locations and consolidate into one later on this year in Gwinnett County.
Carly, tell me all about the plans to actually move your location.
So we are moving into a larger location because we have outgrown our current facility. So we will be located at 85 and Jimmy Carter Boulevard into a state-of-the-art facility that we can grow products and people at. We're excited to move to Gwinnett because Gwinnett is great.
Oh, well, thank you very much. We like to think that ourselves. Chris, so you basically are supplying the beer and other alcohol for restaurants, convenience stores, grocery stores. Kind of explain, I guess in layman's terms, you know, that you're the one getting the product out there.
Yeah, the way it works and the system that we are proud proponents of is the three-tier system. It comes from the supplier, brewer, you know, wineries, down to us as the distributorship is the second tier, and then the third tier is down to the consumer retail level, both on-premise and off-premise grocery stores, package stores, any place that you can buy a product to consume on-premise or take it to consume off-premise. And we have roughly 3,200 customers that we service right now in our 16-county footprint, as well as the liquor and wine that is all over the state of Georgia and kind of just scratching the surface on that.
Now, do you have some unique products that are unique to Eagle Rock that if there's a company or a restaurant wants just that specific, say, craft beer or whatever, Eagle Rock is where they would go?
So over the past 2 years, we've had the opportunity to add four local players to the game, two local distilleries and two local breweries. So our two local distilleries are Richland Rum out of Richland, Georgia, and they produce a high-quality rum. And then Ivy Mountain out of Mount Airy, Georgia, which is a moonshine, a sour mash whiskey, an apple brandy, and a peach brandy. And then we have the two breweries that I'll let Chris tell you about.
We've got two local craft breweries that have just hit the market over the past 2 years. Red Hair Brewery off of Delk Road and Delk Industrial in Marietta, Georgia, which has been a great partner for right at 2 years. And then in the most recent year, Monday Night Brewing, which has just built a new, brand-new brewery facility, Midtown area near 17th Street and Howell Mill, that supplies us that local community homegrown feel, and it's got a great story behind it that really helps us attract some new consumers with the local craft environment.
Before Stephen asks his question, I just want to know, ask, why didn't you bring any samples for us to maybe try this morning?
I have some in my car. We
there, can. Okay, now we're talking. Stephen, the floor is yours.
You weren't involved in the pre-show meeting, Mike. Yeah. So. Carly, first thing I wanted to ask you is on your business card, it says Director of Wine and Spirits. If there's not a better job title, I don't know what it is.
I have one card that says Director of Fun, so that might be a little better.
And what's the difference between the two cards?
There's not much.
Okay. So I was wondering if you
once
would...
Once she gives the people under 21, and one goes
absolutely.
To people
there
over
21. There you go. So Carly... just kind of talk a little bit about how distributing has changed. You guys have mentioned the four people you've started connecting with in the state. That seems like that's been a major trend over the last few years. So kind of expand on that a little bit. And then also, just kind of as a follow-up, I'll go ahead and ask it now. How far do you see this going? How specialized are you guys going to get? How are you prepared to kind of keep riding that trend?
Absolutely. So we're in a really fun place right now in the beverage world where the handcrafted products, consumers are searching for things that they haven't ever searched for. So who would have ever thought down in South Georgia we'd be making rum, and a good rum at that? The consumer, there's a demand for high-quality crafted spirits, beer, wine. And at Eagle Rock, we're adding just all of those things to our portfolio right now. Small, family-owned wineries, specialty craft beers, specialty liquors. I know on the liquor side of things in Georgia, over 2 years ago, we didn't have any distilleries. The laws didn't allow it. And now there's six running, and there's like nine slated to open in 2013. So that's continuing to grow as long as the craft beers is also growing. I think there's three that are opening in the next 3 months just in the metro Atlanta area. So I think that local is here to stay. We've seen it on the food side with the farm to table movement in restaurants, and now we're reacting on the beverage side. So it's a pretty exciting time.
Chris, let me ask you this. You're wearing a Yuengling outfit today. You also do Budweiser products as well. Mm-hmm. How does it work in the market? If I'm a restaurant and I want to have Budweiser or Yuengling products, is it exclusively through you, or are there competitors out there where they could get their product from them as well? How does that work?
Well, the way it works in Georgia, each state is different, and in some municipalities, you know, some laws change. But for the whole state, there's franchise laws that in order for a retailer, say Mike Salmon's Bar and Grill, wants to purchase Anheuser-Busch, Yuengling, or one of our other products, he has to buy them through us. Part of that three-tier system, when we collect that product from our suppliers, and brewers and wineries to take it to there, we collect taxes both on the state and federal level, the local sales tax to report back to each municipality. So we also sell a perishable product. So we handle the rotation, making sure it stays fresh in that account. So there's a lot of push in some other places for direct ship distributorships, but as part of this three-tier system, we do a lot of steps along the way that a lot of people might not know about that allows us to keep a fresh product out there, a non-perishable product from hitting the shelves, as well as providing that service, collecting taxes for both local, state, and municipalities. So as far as what has changed, you know, you mentioned Anheuser-Busch and Yuengling. We were an exclusive Anheuser-Busch distributorship prior to 2000. We kind of changed it, started getting into the craft, and now we want to be that one-stop-shop beverage distributorship where you can get your beer, your wine, your spirits, your chocolate milk, your teas, your water.
Isotonic drinks as well?
We sell a variety of products, and I think we're over 700 SKUs now that we sell in our distributorship, and I started 15 years ago, and I think we had 30. So it's tough to keep up with, but it's fun. It's an ever-changing workplace environment and the consumer demand for it, so we gotta change as the consumer tastes change.
People you're not yet working with, or are there lines of companies that you're not yet working with that you're looking to work with? How are you guys finding new clients? Carly, I guess that's for you.
We are constantly evaluating new products. So I have the fun job of getting about 5 boxes a week of new wines or spirits, and then we have to set up like a tasting panel to go through and see.
I'll start inviting you guys to the tasting.
Do you need help?
Yeah. So we're constantly evaluating new product lines. They seek us out. We seek them out. There's several trade shows we go to around the U.S. where we can sample these products right there. We have a wine and spirits convention coming up in Orlando at the end of the month. So we are constantly seeking out new products to add to our line.
You mentioned an event coming up, but what other local events do you guys participate in? And I know you're involved in the community as far as charitable events as well. Why don't you speak upon that?
I'll start there. Right around the corner, and obviously this is Braves opening week. We're pride partners of the Gwinnett Braves, the Atlanta Braves, and the Rome Braves in our Dalton facility. With opening day this week, we're proud to announce that the Budweiser Clydesdales are in town. They're going to be doing a lap around Turner Field Friday night before the game versus the Cubbies. And then Saturday, we got confirmation about a week and a half ago, they're going to be at Gwinnett. So we're trying to get everybody to come up to the Gwinnett Braves, the home opener. On Saturday, the Clydesdales will be out there for the public viewing from 4 to 6:30, as well as doing a lap around the field prior to the first pitch, delivering the first pitch to the for the ceremony to throw it out, which we got one of our retailers to take care of. And then next week, the yearly steeplechase in Rome. Traditional steeplechase horse race and the all Rome horse grounds up there, our horse racing grounds. Over 25,000 people with Michelob Ultra as the official malt beverage partner of that. So another Clydesdale appearance. We've got them here for 2 weeks, staying at some stables locally, and excited to be a part of all the Braves as well as the Steeplechase, and hopefully making some new friends out there and some impressions on some of our brands.
We also love to be involved in any festival that's going on, and it definitely is festival season right now. So April 27th, we have the Buckhead Wine Festival, where we will be featuring our Richland Rum and Ivy Mountain, our local distilleries. And you can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter, and we're always following or updating what events we have going on. So Eagle Rock Distributing Company on Facebook.
Chris, let me ask you, you started the interview by talking about the big move to Gwinnett by the end of the year. Why Gwinnett?
Well, two things. One, we're in 16 counties exclusively with our malt beverage products, wine, state of Georgia. So we need a central location, one, where we can service from Rockdale County all the way up to Northwest White County, Northeast to Union County, as well as a facility that Carly was talking about. We've outgrown our footprint. There's not enough room to store these products as we continue to grow. We just picked up the Arizona Tea Company, as well as Nest Tea, tea beverages. So as these new products come in and we continue to grow as that multi-beverage distributorship, we needed a place to fit. Plus, Gwinnett County has always been and continues to be our fastest growing county, both in, you know, sales, per capita, people. So we need to be there. We've been members of the Gwinnett Chamber of Commerce since day one, and support Duluth, most of all of our municipalities as far as their local organizations and fundraisers. So it just made sense.
They're smart business people, Mike.
Absolutely. Well, you go where the business is and go where the growth is. I want to know if you can build a room about this size so we can have our studio there as well.
Well, we have 750,000 square feet to work with, so I'm sure we can carve out a little bit to fit you guys and gals in there. So
those will be some fun shows.
Mike, you already have no shortage of guests. I would think the waiting list would triple in size.
Absolutely. Real quick, Chris and Carly, and I'll start with you, Chris. You mentioned you've been there for 15 years or so. Mm-hmm. What do you enjoy most about what you do? And you do a lot of the marketing.
I do most of our marketing for the brands I represent, and then get to play in a lot of the sponsorships and venue stuff. You know, handle our graphics department, sign shop, promotions, all the fun stuff everybody says. When Carly's the official director of fun, but I'll take second title to that. But I started on a truck as a route assistant rolling kegs back in 1998. Promoted from within, worked from within company. The best thing about Eagle Rock, it's a family-owned and operated company. A lot of things changed in the big brewer worlds with the Yinglings, Anheuser-Busch being bought out, but we still have the same family-owned and operated company since day one. You've got a problem, you got a situation, you got something to concern, you can walk right in the owner's office. He's there every day, they're day in, they're very hands-on people, and, you know, they let us work hard, but we even play harder sometimes. So.
And Carly, I think we already talked about what you enjoy most about your job, but same question.
So I have been there for 8 years. My anniversary of 8 years is coming up. And I enjoy going to work every day. The people we work with are great. At the end of the day, we're selling a really fun product, and we continue to grow our portfolio just to be interesting and unique. And it's a different day every day, which is very fun about the beverage world. So.
For those companies, business leaders listening in and want to know more or get in touch with you guys to do some business with you guys, how would they reach you?
The best way would be online. We're at www.eaglerocks.com, and then we're on Facebook and Twitter.
And it's Eagle Rock Distributing Company. Real quick before I let you go, what's the story behind the name Eagle Rock?
It started in 2000 when we became Eagle Rock, and located where we were right now in Stone Mountain, kind of the rock, the foundation is the background of our logo. And then Eagle, when we were an exclusive Anheuser-Busch company, the Eagle with the Anheuser-Busch A and Eagle. So kind of a mixture of the two, but we're going to stay as Eagle Rock. We have the Dalton location now, and then Eagle Rock Stone Mountain, and now we'll just become Eagle Rock Distributing Company or Multi-Beverage Distribution Company. So check us out.
All right. Carly Crane and Chris Jones with Eagle Rock Distributing Company. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Thanks, Steve.
Great to see you guys. All right. Joining us now on Gwinnett Business Radio is Dr. Lauren Millman from the Suwannee Spine and Wellness Center. Good morning, Lauren.
Good morning, Mike.
Tell us all about the Suwannee Spine and Wellness Center. What do you guys do? I can guess, but for our listeners, what do you do there?
Well, I am your upper cervical chiropractor. We opened in September of 2012. So we just celebrated our six-month anniversary, and I am your specialty chiropractor that has now opened in Gwinnett County.
What led you to becoming a chiropractor?
Well, I started 13 years ago. I started even from the ground up. I started working in a chiropractic office as a chiropractic assistant, worked my way up through running offices, running the insurance the insurance front office, if you will. And I fell in love very quickly with chiropractic because there's nothing like seeing people get well, but getting well effectively, you know, without the use of medication, drugs, and surgery. And it spoke to me very quickly. And so I decided to continue on after my bachelor's, went on to school, got my doctorate, and I've just been rolling ever since. I love it. Fall in love with it.
Now, you specialize in upper cervical chiropractic, or that's one of the things that you do. Explain what that is.
Well, upper cervical chiropractic is a specialty within chiropractic in the sense that we only address the upper cervical region of the spine. We don't have to address every segment, every vertebra, whenever we go to see whole body and full body wellness. So me in particular, I address the very top portion of the spine where the brain, the skull, actually joins to the rest of the spine. And when I see people with a lot of dysfunction, when this area is misaligned, causing the entire body, the rest of the body, to exhibit imbalance. So it's pretty remarkable.
Is there a specific client that has that? Would that be, you know, younger folks, older folks, athletes, non-athletes? Or who's more of your clientele base that you see maybe on a regular basis?
The best clientele is one that has a pulse and has a spine. There's nothing in particular that...
Wait, I'm trying to think if that excludes anybody.
Well, that...
I think I might know a couple of those.
I've run into a couple of those along the way. Honestly, anybody who... We get a lot of people who have tried traditional, even holistic approaches. We see a lot of people who've come from even traditional chiropractic backgrounds, and you know, maybe it helped some or it didn't help a lot. And this really, because it's so precise and so specific, the amount of analysis that I can put just on one area... you know, we get people that can really, we can really get them to the next level, the next level in health and healing.
So one type of client that you're looking for is somebody who has maybe been involved in chiropractic, but has not been thoroughly satisfied with their results.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
And someone who's, okay. And then the other thing I was going to ask is, talk for a little bit about, talk to the person who might be listening to this, who has never gone to a chiropractor before and is okay, well, okay, Lauren, I'll give you a couple minutes. Try and convince me. What would you say to them?
Try and convince you. Okay. well, for starters, I get a lot of people that say, I want nothing to do with chiropractic. I don't want to be twisted and cracked and popped, and I don't want to be turned into a pretzel. And that just scares me. I get, if I had a penny for every time someone said that noise just scares me, or the thought of that noise is frightening. And I go, you're right on. It kind of scares me too. So luckily what I do, there is no twisting and cracking and popping involved. In fact, a lot of people won't even hear anything going on. I put a light force contact to the point behind your ear. And that's how I'm able to align that very uppermost part of the spine. But yeah, a little bit about, I mean, chiropractic is definitely phenomenal, but this really takes it to a whole next level. This is really a premium level of chiropractic that we can utilize. So there's less than 1% of all chiropractors are able to be trained in this specialty. So
Then let's also talk about the person who walks in your door, mm-hmm. and says, okay, I'm ready, you know, let's sit down. Walk me through the process. Is there a consultation first?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay, so
I have to determine if they're a candidate for this type of care. I need to determine if, you know, make sure that there's nothing else going on that could be causing their complaints. And it actually, you know, if it is indeed a misalignment, that could be relating to their complaints. So they walk in and I'm going to do a thorough history. I'm going to I'm going to talk with them and explain to them a little bit about what I do. I'm going to get some data. I'm very big about objective data. I want to determine if your body actually, you know, is misaligned and if it needs to be adjusted. And it might not be. There could be other reasons why your body is exhibiting dysfunction, and I'm going to rule all those things out. So I determine objective data. I want to see if I might only touch the uppermost part of your spine, but I'm looking at the entire body, the entire whole body, to see how the posture is. Where the posture is, and then I'm going to see if there is any weight imbalance. I'm going to put you on the anatometer, which basically are two scales side by side, and I want to see, coupled with your posture, if you are standing off from one side to the other. And then at that point, if I see that there is this imbalance, then I'm going to take a series of very specific and unique to what I do, three-dimensional x-rays. I have a digital x-ray in the office, state-of-the-art equipment. So I'm going to take a series of three x-rays and see if three-dimensionally, if there is a misalignment in that region. And then we'll move forward from there.
So you're talking about a weight imbalance or a body imbalance.
Correct.
If you do lean on one side more so than the other, I mean, mm-hmm. how can that affect you? Is that you're saying that could be bad for the body?
Absolutely. Our body is meant to be balanced. One of my favorite sayings is, you know, life is a matter of balance. But life is a matter of balance, not only physically, but in many aspects of our life. But if we have body imbalance, then that is going to affect everything that we're able to do in our lives. It's going to affect how we're able to heal. It's going to affect how we're able to think. It's going to affect how we're able, you know, our immune system, if it's working properly. It's going to affect every component to our life. So if we're off balance, I see people that can come in and they're 10, 20, 30, 40. I've seen upwards to 60 and 70 pounds off center on one side and the other. And I'm going, you know, how is that body functioning? You know, a lot of times at that point, you know, they're starting to exhibit pain. They're exhibiting low back pain, or, you know, they're unable to think properly. Or I get people all the time, and they have fibromyalgia or some other type of neurological condition. And, you know, it's something as simple as when you start restoring their body, then their body is unable to heal. And so they start really responding and healing from these ailments. So it's pretty crazy.
Do you find that weight plays a lot into people's aches and pains? If you're carrying more weight than you should, that's going to cause some problems where you might need a chiropractor?
Absolutely. But we do have some patients who are, you know, probably certainly health or heavier than they would like to be. But a lot of times people are in so much pain, or they're so unhealthy, or they feel so bad, they can't start moving. They can't start getting physically active, and they can't exercise. And so they're stuck in this terrible loop, and they don't know what to do. They can't move forward because they hurt so bad and they feel so bad. So when we start restoring them and start getting this healthier, then this in turn starts, you know, going, snowballing in the right direction. Then they're able to start moving forward with other healthier habits. So,
Lauren, I don't know if you realize this, but you're not the only chiropractor in Gwinnett County. I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news. Well,
but there's none like me.
That's exactly where I was going. So I'm in the financial services industry, and there's quite a few of us out there too.
Right.
So let me ask you the question. How do you set yourself apart? What makes you different? And I'm hearing definitely about the upper cervical specialist.
Absolutely.
But speak a little bit more. The floor is yours. What sets you apart?
I'm definitely very different. I think that's been the key to my success even right now. I'm definitely unlike anyone else that I've ever met, good or bad. I don't know how to take that. Aside from being an upper cervical specific chiropractor, there's one of 40 of us out there in the country who practice this particular technique. But other than that, everything in our office is geared towards enhancing the adjustment, enhancing your correction. So, you know, I absolutely love my patients. Everybody says that, but I do kind of fall in love with them. They're amazing people, and I really, my office manager always uses the term, she geeks on stuff. I geek on getting them better. So I'm borrowing hers. So we're not going to try, or I'm not your nutritionist, your mother, your father, your exercise consultant, your physical therapist, and your chiropractor. I'm your chiropractor, and I am really darn good at what I do. I am the master at what I do. But then I also, because health is multifaceted and we need other approaches once we start balancing the body, I incorporate experts in their fields around me. So I have other practitioners in the office that I rely on to start enhancing the body and balancing the body. So, you know, I am very good at what I do, but I try not to be everyone's everything. And I think that sets me apart. So
we're talking with Dr. Lauren Millman with Suwannee Spine and Wellness Center. I understand, Lauren, that you can treat multiple areas by just adjusting one area.
I can.
Speak about that.
Well, you know, the uppermost area of the spine is unlike any other point in the rest of the spine. It's very unique in not only the anatomy, but the neurology. And that particular area surrounds the brainstem. And when this area is misaligned, it affects everything down below it. I give the analogy like almost like it's a domino effect. If this area is misaligned, not only is it going to put pressure on the brainstem and decrease blood flow, oxygen, and nutrients to that brainstem area, everything down below it is going to start misaligning. And so we have compensations throughout the rest of the spine. So the majority of people that will come in could easily be, you know, have low back pain, hip pain, or knee pain. That's really, they're just compensations for stuff that's higher up in the spine. So they can come in with, again, you know, low back pain, hip pain, knee pain, and they start seeing dramatic relief, and I've never even have to touch those areas. Conversely, that, you know, a lot of times, you know, we don't just see your typical spinal pain when people come in. We see a lot of, again, you know, your fibromyalgias, your multiple sclerosis, a lot of other neurological conditions. See plenty of kids with who are, you know, ADD, ADHD, the body is just not functioning properly. And you see these kids are really off and imbalanced too. And so when you start restoring that, they start responding too. So we do see a lot of kids in the office as well. So, yeah, so I don't have to touch every bone in the body to start getting them to respond like that. So,
wow. For those that want to find out more or, you know, tell us about where your office is located and how people can get in touch with you.
I am in Suwannee. I'm at the corner of Peachtree Industrial and Moore Road right behind the Chick-fil-A. You can find me on SuwanneeSpine.com. You can find me on Twitter, Suwannee Spine. Or you can follow me or not follow me, but like me on Facebook. And Suwannee Spine and Wellness Center.
And I'm very familiar with that Chick-fil-A, by the way.
You need to get familiar with the Suwannee Spine Center. You know, Mike, it's funny. During our first interview, I was getting really, really thirsty. During our interview with Dr. Millman, I'm kind of twisting and turning and stretching real good. So what's going to happen next?
Maybe you get a free exam after this.
We'll see.
We'll medicate you with some Eagle Rock products first. And then
you don't need to be because she's not going to manipulate every single bone, right?
Correct.
I was listening.
No twisting, cracking, and popping.
No twisting. I like that. That's a good tagline.
No twisting.
Dr. Lauren Millman. No twisting, cracking, or popping.
There you go. Dr. Lauren Millman, Suwannee Spine and Wellness Center. Thanks so much, Lauren.
Thank you, Mike.
Well, going from adjusting and aligning your body to aligning your car.
Ba-dum-bum.
Thank you very much. We are now joined by Jeff Johnson with Jake Johnson's Garage, located in Buford, now Sugar Hill. I live up in the area myself. Jeff, welcome to the program. Tell us all about Jake Johnson's Garage. There's some history there. You guys have been around for a while. Tell us about the history and what you specialize in.
Good morning, Mike. We've been in business since 1922. My grandfather started a business in downtown Atlanta on Cortland Street. He moved to Ansley area in the 30s and operated until 51 when my dad took it over. He operated in Atlanta, three different locations, until 88 when he and I moved it to Buford, opened up in Gwinnett County, and I took it over in 92 and been running it since.
Is there all makes and models that you guys work on? Is there anything that you don't touch?
Foreign and domestic cars, trucks, and some marine repairs. Work on all cars, makes and models.
Basically. And all types of services?
All services. Full service shop.
What is it that, and I'm not a car person. I know nothing about engines other than to put some oil in and to put some gas in. And I'm not even very good with putting the oil in, as Jeff will probably tell you right now. But what kind, if I'm looking for a mechanic to work on my car, what are some of the questions I should be asking so I know I have a good mechanic that's not going to take advantage of me?
Well, you do need to establish a working relationship with wherever you take your car. Get on a first name basis with whoever you're dealing with at that shop.
I'll make sure that's the case, Jeff.
Yes.
see that, Stephen?
Good job.
And we offer a full maintenance inspection. Most times we don't even charge for it, just to help the customer be aware of what condition their car is in, what repairs they need, help them decide based on the condition of the car if it's even worth working on, you know, making repairs to, and then break it down into what stage, you know, what needs to be done first, you know, if it has to be done in separate repairs are all done at once.
Jeff, you guys have been around since, like you said, 1922. One of the first things that went through my mind is so many business owners, they frame that first dollar. I'm wondering if you guys still have that frame, because that might be a pretty valuable dollar from back in 1922.
I don't know. Way back then, I don't think they did that. They were just lucky to have their own shop.
Yeah. And I wonder, yeah, you don't frame dollars back then. You needed them. I also wonder, you guys have been working on so many different cars, you know, to ask how have cars changed since you opened is too big of a question. So tell me kind of how the business has changed, especially over the last few years and since moving to Gwinnett and stuff like that.
Well, when I grew up in the business, my dad started me working on customers' cars when I was 8 years old. He basically handed me a part, told me to go out to this car and find out where it went and put it on it. And it was quite a chore, but with other mechanics in the shop helping me, I finally figured it out and got through it. And then he realized I could do it, so he started me working on more. But cars, of course, back then in the 50s, 60s, they were easy to work on. We didn't even charge diagnostic fees because you could just look at the car and tell exactly what was wrong with it by either listening to it or driving it or trying to crank it. Since 82, when cars became computerized, basically as a need to improve exhaust emissions, that's when everything started getting more difficult and a lot more equipment and time and skills were needed, a lot of training. So they've become a lot more difficult to work on since 82.
So you, Mike asked the question of what should someone be looking for in a mechanic. So what I'm going to ask is, what should people be doing with their mechanic? What should they be doing to help their mechanic keep good care of their car?
Basically give them the opportunity. Keep them coming on a regular basis, doing the routine services. Oil changes are the most important. If a shop's doing an oil change correctly, they should be checking every system on the car, making sure your tires, your brakes, suspension, everything's in good working order every time they're just doing an oil change, because they're checking all the fluids, filters, belts, hoses. Unfortunately, these quick change oil places, they get hung up on just selling their services, filters and stuff, that wiper blades, stuff that they can get to easily and quick. But when you go to those places, a lot of times stuff gets overlooked, and somebody who's not quite as experienced in looking at those things doesn't get to look at the car, so you end up with major problems.
And you go to some of those places, and they want you to come back in a couple thousand miles to get everything redone. What's the real answer as far as how often should you have your car checked?
At least every 3,500 to 5,000 miles. I mean, if somebody's doing the routine oil changes and checking everything correctly, you don't end up with major repairs.
Okay. Something that's also come about since you guys have been in business, and that is these shops where you can buy the different parts and do it yourself, or buy the parts and then bring the parts to you and say, hey, can you install this in my car? Is that a good idea? Does that save people money, or in the long term, that's probably not the best way to go?
We've had people bring their own parts. I try to accommodate them where I can, but a lot of times when you buy parts online, say, you end up with the wrong part or not quality part, and then you have trouble returning it if you have problems with it. Another thing is diagnostics. A lot of people get confused when that little light comes on, tell them there's a problem. They want to stop at AutoZone. They think AutoZone can diagnose it for them. A code reader like AutoZone or Vance use just tells you the code. It doesn't diagnose the car. It's like an aid for them to sell parts. Somebody has to actually know what to do with that code, go through the diagnostic procedure, and figure out what's wrong with the car, and that's where my technicians come in. They have a lot of training in that area, so they can take that code and pull the diagnostic sheet on it and go through the test. And you have to charge for that, unfortunately. And a lot of people want to know if they can take that charge for diagnostics and apply it towards the repair. In some cases we can, but in most cases you can't, because it depends on how much time you spend and what jumps you had to go through to come to that conclusion of what was wrong with the car.
Now there's obviously a lot of other mechanics out there. You've touched upon some things that separate you from your competition. I'll give you a chance to talk about some other areas where maybe you can outshine your competition. But one of the things I do want you to touch upon is this, like a workshop or this class you do for ladies. Talk about that.
Yeah, I offer usually the third Saturday of each month. We have a ladies 101 auto information class, basically help them become aware of systems on their car and the processes that we go through at Jake Johnson's Garage to determine what's wrong with cars, and help them with trying to become familiar with the processes that shops go through to diagnose their cars.
So you're assuming that all guys kind of know their cars. I mean, can I sneak into that class?
Sure.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I saw Steven over there laughing at me.
I'm laughing. I'm agreeing with you. I think there's a little sexism going on. I love how they assume that you and I know anything about our cars. We don't. Because I know you, Mike, and you know me. I'm still lucky I opened the hood in the front. I at least know that. So I'm great.
I've actually found myself in cars, and I can't figure out how to open the gas tank because, you know, you got to have the little lever, and I'm looking around the car trying to figure out where that is so I can snap it open. You guys have been in business a long time. Where do you see your biggest growth? Where do you see yourself, Jeff, in 5 years?
I'm hoping to be in great shape. We've geared up for a lot of new equipment and abilities to – we do emissions now, emissions diagnostics, repairs. I've added alignment rack with exhaust capability. We do full exhaust repairs now. All diagnostics. I have two good diagnostics techs. We're just ready for the next 10 years.
Can you touch on the marine part? You kind of said that at the very beginning. What specific – how big a part of your business is that? How much of a need is there for that in Gwinnett County? And what do you guys do?
Because of my location and getting in and out, it's hard to work on larger boats, but we do service. I have a lot of customers with boats and Sea-Doos and stuff. We do service those for them. I'm limited as to space so I can store them. So I was doing a lot more several years ago, and I got away from it because of space, but we're getting back into it.
Good. We're talking with Jeff Johnson with Jake Johnson's Garage. Jeff, what do you enjoy most about what you do?
Working with the customers and my employees, I mean, they still drag me out in the shop and get my hands dirty as often as they can. They want me to help them. But I like carrying the car from when the customer is broke down or coming for repair, dealing with the customer, getting the mechanics to check it out, getting the estimate together and selling it, and just helping solve the customer's problem, making them happy.
Jeff, I can't let the interview end without asking, how many times do you get called Jake?
Several times. That was a nickname. My dad took it over. People called him Little Jake growing up. People called me Little Jake growing up. But, yeah, I have a lot of customers that call me Jake.
And let me ask, is Jake is your father's name or Jake is your grandfather?
Jake was my grandfather's nickname. Okay. And it just carried down through the years.
Nice. Yeah.
Tell folks where you're located exactly and if they want to, you know, bring their car or their boat in for service.
We're at the corner of Suwannee Dam Road and Cumming Highway, Highway 20, across from the new Kroger and Chase Bank. Come on in and see us. We'll be glad to help you.
All right. Jeff, thanks so much for your time, and I guess I'll be seeing you later today to pick up my car.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Jeff Johnson from Jake Johnson's Garage here on Gwinnett Business Radio. Now joining us on the show is Marie Fratoni. She's a noted speaker, life coach, life consultant, and the founder of Reinvent Yourself Seminars. What does she not do? She's a regular contributor here on the show. Welcome, Marie. Always great to see you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Marie. Today we're going to talk about a critical key to creating a successful next chapter. Reinvent your self-talk. Self-talk. What in the world is self-talk?
Well, self-talk is that little voice in your head, that little gremlin sitting on your shoulder that says, I can't do this. They won't select me. I'll never have what I want. It's usually negative.
Yes, I know that really, really well. It was just, sorry for the pause. It was actually talking to me while you were giving. I would think that is a huge detriment to a lot of people because a lot of times it seems like we're not positive thinkers. We're just naturally negative thinkers. We let that self-talk get to us.
Well, I think the thing is that when people are reinventing themselves, you know, what they say to themselves is really a critical factor because what you speak in your mind, what you tell yourself, often comes true. And that's the way the brain works. The self-talk is the software that runs us. And we acquire it in a lot of different ways from a lot of different people, from our parents, our schools, our teachers. And the self-talk is our belief systems. And some of it's conscious, some of it's not conscious. But if you're starting to create something new in a reinvention, a life, a job, a business, a marriage, relationship, what creeps in there sometimes are all the things that say we can't have that or why we can't have that. And as we say, beliefs create the evidence.
How long have you been working with the concept of self-talk, and how do you fit that into your coaching seminars?
Well, thanks. That's a great question. I've actually started really working with the concept of self-talk in 1987, and I was actually trained personally by a gentleman by the name of Dr. Shad Helmstetter, who wrote the original book called What to Say When You Talk to Yourself. And we're still connected this day, and I've had a lot of training with him about how the brain works in terms of language and producing results. And where it fits into, I mean, everybody talks to themselves, so that's the great news. Even no matter what country you're from, what language, everybody has that mind chatter. And we can learn if we can start to organize our mind chatter so that it works for us rather than against us. It's amazing what can happen.
We're talking with Marie Frattoni with Reinvent Yourself Seminars. What are some of the more common examples of a negative self-talk, and how do we overcome that?
Well, let me count the ways. I would say most people, the people that I really come in contact with around a reinvention, is things like, it'll never be possible, or I've done this before and I'll never be able to create it again, or my family is against me, or I don't think that I have the right skill set, I don't have the right education, I don't have enough money, I don't, seems to be the mantra that, you know, creeps in there. And I think once you identify what that is an inhibiting factor, then you can actually learn to create language that is powerful that will create the response.
So you can help coach people through that. You can help train that people to get past that. Although I'm going to give you some negative self-talk right now and say, does it really work? Can you really coach people to get past the negative self-talk?
Yeah, it really does work. And it's unfortunate that, you know, I was probably in my late 30s by the time I ever heard of the concept of self-talk. The Olympic athletes, high-performance athletes all over the world, it's a critical component in their training. As a matter of fact, I've taught this class at Emory University here in Atlanta for 15 years. It's always been a sellout class because people really understand that they do talk to themselves. It's something that none of us are immune to. And I actually got to coach during the Olympics some of the Olympic coaches, and I learned from them that they were actually using the self-talk, journal writing. After they would go and play a tennis match or a sporting event or something like that, they would actually take the athletes to come in and write in their journals about what was the self-talk that was going on in their mind that had them create the result that they were doing. So it was pretty interesting.
So, and Stephen, help me with this. What was it, the little engine that could? It's almost like, no, I can't, no, I can't, no, I can't. But you're the person that comes in and says, yes, you can, yes, you can.
Yeah, it takes a lot. You know, it takes a lot of time to do it. I've got, you know, as somebody who's really involved in transformational education, there's several tips that we can really do and several things that we can actually do to alter someone's thinking, but it takes some work. Just like if you were going to go to the gym and work out and do bicep curls or, you know, start a marathon running, you know, you're not going to get out there and all of a sudden go 26 miles on the first day. It takes some work, and it's just like doing the bicep curls.
We're really talking about a life discipline, aren't we? I mean, it's something, and no matter how long you work on it, I would imagine it's something. You said you kind of learned it, you didn't hear about it till the late 30s or till you were in your late 30s. It's probably a discipline you still have to practice today, correct?
It is. I think sometimes you get to a point where you can really clear something, and then your new conversations become what give you your life. And I think that's the important thing to remember, is that our speaking and our conversations give us our life. So what we often think about comes about. In biblical times, the saying is, as you thinketh in your heart, so you become. I mean, there's a lot of information. In the medical world for this is psychoneuroimmunology. And there's probably not a training hospital on the planet now that doesn't have a component of working with mindset over matter, you know, your language, creating your results, that is used as part of a treatment for wellness.
Would I be correct in saying that, why does it seem like negative self-talk or negativity, I guess, is always more natural to us rather than positive self-talk being a natural part? It seems like we have to work for the positive, where the negative just comes free-flowing easily and naturally.
Well, I'll tell you, there's a big long answer and a short answer, and the short answer is gravity. Gravity is heavy. It weighs down. Things pull down, and negative self-talk is a negativity, and it's heavy and it pulls down. When kids are born, the first thing, many of the things that they're told to do is, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. The TV says, don't do this, don't do that, don't spill the milk, you know, don't leave your socks in the middle of the road, don't. And I think that the research has shown that we're bombarded with a lot of negativity over a very quick period of time that imprints on the brain, and that starts to produce the results. Wow. Yeah, they need to unlock that.
Wow, good stuff. I know you obviously can talk more about that, and you do a lot of webinars and telecoaching sessions on reinventing yourself, self-talk. How can people contact you if they want to know more information about that and gain some of your wisdom?
Well, I love to do training on this for all different types of groups, and they can reach me at my website, which is reinventyourselfseminars.com, and they can contact me at my office at 770-263-8179.
And Marie, I just want to ask one last question. You've been on the show multiple times, and we've kind of talked through the process of reinvention. But I think one of the things, if I can ask, this concept of self-talk is, in some ways, it can be a standalone thing that you can help somebody with.
It really is.
And obviously, it could lead to the whole process, which is great. Yeah. But this is something they definitely could contact you with just to talk about this one topic.
I've actually been teaching seminars in this area around the world since 1987.
Mm. Very cool.
It's hot.
And I'm going to ask one last question after Steven's last question. And you mentioned that you can actually gear this towards different, say, industries. You talked about athletes. I would think if there's people that are in sales at Eagle Rock or whatever, I mean, you can tailor make your self-talk seminars for whoever.
Yeah, I've actually done it, self-talk for the medical community, self-talk for salespeople, self-talk for professionals. So I have a program that I've done for major real estate companies called Self-Talk for Real Estate Agents. Because everybody talks to themselves, you can really adapt it, and you can actually create the language for them, which really makes it easy so they've got their scripts and they've got their work that they can do.
Marie mentioned the medical industry, and I'm thinking a doctor's about to do surgery on you. I can't do this.
We don't want that.
Yeah, we don't want the negative self-talk for the doctors. Marie, once again, your contact information for those that want to reach out to you.
My website is www.reinventyourselfseminars.com.
All right, Marie, thank you so much.
Thank you as well.
Marie Fratoni with Reinvent Yourself Seminars. A big thank you to our other guests as well, Dr. Lauren Millman from Suwannee Spine and Wellness Center, Carly Crane and Chris Jones from Eagle Rock Distributing Company, and Jeff Johnson from Jake Johnson's Garage. A quick reminder that Gwinnett Business Radio can be heard throughout the day on the Gwinnett Business Radio X station, and that you can listen to any of our programs anytime 24/7 by logging on to businessradiox.com. For Stephen Julian.
Mike, I don't want any cracking, popping, or snapping in my car, otherwise I take it to Jeff. I definitely don't want it in my spine, otherwise I go see Dr. Lauren. But popping and snapping with Eagle Rock Distributor, that's pretty good.
And when is that new location going to be opening up, Chris?
We started receiving product there just the end of last week, and we will be opening our offices there for management come November, fourth quarter.
I can't wait for our new studio.
And, Chris, if there's any bulk missing, you know to call Mike, okay?
It's always Mike's fault.
Thank you, Stephen. On that note, I am Mike Salmon. We'll see you next time right here on Business Radio X.